The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, August 4th, 2014. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 10th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming to you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: TheScanner.com ran a story on the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, hosting the Shakespeare on the Road tour, which is gathering information about American Shakespeare productions for the UK-based Shakespeare Birthday Trust. The Huffington Post ran a story on the Shakespeare Center of Los Angeles and its history. BBC Business ran a story on London's Shakespeare's Globe as a laboratory for theatrical studies. LGBTWeekly.com ran a story on San Diego's Old Globe Theater launching a new program, Globe for All, taking Shakespeare on the road in San Diego, California, bringing the Bard to underserved and multi-generational audiences. Kiloland.com Television ran a story on an exhibit at the University of South Dakota, and there's the humor of it, analyzing how the four bodily humors, once believed to define people's physical and mental health, influenced Shakespeare's work. Lehigh Valley Live previewed Othello by Allentown Shakespeare in the Park in Allentown, Pennsylvania. The Moscow Times reviewed The Taming of the Shrew by the Bolshoi Ballet, a new work by Jean-Christophe Malot, calling it superbly done. NJ.com previewed the upcoming production of Pericles by Hudson Shakespeare Company in Kenilworth, New Jersey. The Capital Gazette previewed The Tempest by Annapolis Shakespeare Company at the Bowie Playhouse in Bowie, Maryland. The Union Bulletin previewed the upcoming all-female Julius Caesar by Seattle Shakespeare Company in Walla Walla, Washington. The Grand Island Independent did a story on the upcoming presentation of Henry IV Part 1 by Shakespeare with noodles. Yes, you heard that right. They put on children's plays using swimming noodles. As long as a slim noodle isn't playing Falstaff, this could be cool. And it's running in Grand Island, Nebraska. NY1.com previewed the upcoming Titus Andronicus by puppet Shakespeare players, including some video. Bill Moyers previewed the 2015 documentary Joe Papp in Five Acts about the founder of the Free Shakespeare in the Park in New York. BloggingShakespeare.com reviewed Peter Sellars' production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, a chamber play at the Stratford Festival, calling it a completely innovative rendering, plumbing uncharted depths in the original play. BloggingShakespeare.com also reviewed Richard III at Trafalgar Studios with Martin Freeman in the title role, saying that, despite some directorial failures, it was ultimately a triumph. The Great Falls Tribune reviewed Montana Shakespeare in the Park's productions of both Romeo and Juliet and As You Like It, saying that missing these shows would be a tragedy. The Denver Post reviewed Spark Theater's review, Shakespeare to the Death, featuring some of the greatest deaths in Shakespeare without having to sit through the five acts, their words, not mine, in Denver, Colorado. M Live reviewed the Michigan Shakespeare Festival's production of Cymbeline at Jackson College in Jackson, Michigan, calling it beautiful, exciting, and highly theatrical. WBUR Public Radio reviewed Twelfth Night by Commonwealth Shakespeare Company in Boston, Massachusetts, saying that it's a family-friendly night of Shakespeare, if not a fully satisfying celebration. The Columbus Dispatch reviewed Available Light Theater's production of Cymbeline in Columbus, Ohio, calling it a rare treat for discerning theatergoers. NOLA.com reviewed the final production of this year's New Orleans Shakespeare Festival, Twelfth Night with many students from Tulane University, calling it charming. The Reno Gazette Journal reviewed As You Like It by Lake Tahoe Shakespeare Festival, calling it a dreamy evening. And finally, NPR host Ira Glass set Twitter ablaze with his statement that, quote, maybe Shakespeare sucks, unquote, which he later wasn't too sure he could defend, surprisingly enough. Let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On July 29th, 1567, the one-year-old son of Mary, Queen of Scots, was crowned James VI of Scotland. He would later become James I of England. July 31st is Lammas Eve, the day before Lammas Day, or August 1st. Lammas is the wheat harvest festival. Juliet of Romeo and Juliet was born on Lammas Eve, which is symbolic of the fact that she dies before the harvest, as she died before her time. It also marks the beginning of Romeo and Juliet on or around July 14th. On August 1st, 30 BC, Mark Antony died. Following the defection of his army to Octavian a year earlier at the Battle of Actium and Octavian's invasion of Egypt, fearing that Cleopatra had already committed suicide, he stabbed himself. It was a mortal wound, and when he learned that Cleopatra still lived, according to legend, he had his followers take him to her, where he died in her arms. On August 3rd, 1460, James II of Scotland died during the siege of Roxburgh Castle. This James was the great-great-great-grandfather of James VI of Scotland and James I of England. On August 4th, 1600, As You Like It was registered in the Register of Stationers Company with a to-be-stayed order, keeping the play from being published until the publisher could be proved to be the copyright owner. And that was your week in Shakespeare. Listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending August 4th, 2014. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com, and we'll catch you next week.